Matthew 11, verse 20 to 24 is our text this morning. And the title of the message is The Unrepentant Cities. Let's turn together to Matthew 11 and pick it up from verse 20. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. The unrepentant cities. There is a question that is commonly asked. What happens to people in faraway lands? People who have not had an opportunity to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. People who have never heard anything about Jesus and will probably not hear about him anytime soon. What happens to such a people? How is God going to judge them? And if they die as those who have not repented of their sins, is it going to be fair for the Lord to judge them and take them to hell? And so we care so much about this question. What about those who never hear the gospel? Well, today, the question is different, flip side. What about those who receive the abundance of opportunities when they hear the gospel? What about those who have been blessed to some extent and they have been hearing that they need to repent and they don't repent? What is going to happen to them? And this is the question that I would like us to think about as we enter into this passage. They were given opportunities to hear the gospel and opportunities to repent and come back to the Lord, but they never repented. So it is not just what happens to those who didn't hear. Today it is what happens to those who hear. As we look at today's passage, as we consider this message, we need to remember something. That in this chapter, there is something that is coming and that is frequent, and that is rejection. From verse 2 going downwards, it is very clear that they rejected John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came to them preaching that they needed to repent of their sins, that they needed to turn to the Lord, for the kingdom of God was near. They never listened. Here, verse 16, going downwards there, there is also another component of rejection. And here they are talking about a generation that has rejected even the Lord Jesus Christ. But From verse 20, going downwards, there is a specific group of people that are mentioned. And these are the ones I'm calling the unrepentant cities. John the Baptist introduced the Lord Jesus Christ to these people. As he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, which is found in Matthew 3 and verse 2. And after he was thrown into prison, Jesus himself took up the very message, the same message, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is not too far away from where we see John speaking. And here it is in chapter 4 and verse 17. He went all over Galilee, teaching and preaching this message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And even as he was preaching, we see that he established his identity as the promised king by the fact that he healed many people. He established his identity by performing so many miracles. So it wasn't just the words of John the Baptist ringing in their minds that they needed to repent. Something was done a little bit more to drive the point home. Christ establishing himself by those miracles, that they would turn to him and see that he is indeed the Messiah that they were waiting for. He validated his identity by performing wondrous works. These are the works that are mentioned in verse 20, in which most of his mighty works had been done. The mighty works refer to miracles, the healing of those that were sick, and a few other things. And we see here that all this is meant to help these people acknowledge who the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things are being done so that they can turn from their sinful ways. Beloved friends, there are just three simple questions that we are going to ask as we look at these verses. And as we look at the subject, the unrepentant cities, who are they? And I ask this question using they, because those cities are not just places, there are people in there. So who are they, these unrepentant cities? Secondly, why are they called unrepentant? And thirdly, what are the consequences of their unrepentance? The first question, who are they? Verse 20, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Who are they? Verse 21, Chorazin and Bethsaida. Verse 23, Capernaum. So these unrepentant cities are actually Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. And when we ask this important question, who are these unrepentant cities? It is a question to help us have a picture of who that person is who is unrepentant. So who are they? Apart from me mentioning that it is Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, I'll say that the unrepentant, and in this context and generally, are the exposed. Who are these people? They are exposed. So, Chorazin and Bethsaida in verse 21 and verse 22, we are told these people were exposed to the mighty works of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the unrepentant cities here we are talking about are those that are exposed to the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, Chorazin and Bethsaida were cities along the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee and not too far from Capernaum. But these two, Chorazin and Bethsaida, represent one category, and that is the exposed. He had done mighty works in these cities, we are told. And when we remember the mighty works, we are talking about miracles, signs and wonders, as they call them. Signs and wonders are called so because they symbolize something supernatural. They symbolize something that is not seen every day. They symbolize that thing which is way out of human ability, if you may like. He apparently performed these miracles. Observe with me that especially Chorazin, there is no record to show what exactly he performed in terms of miracles. There is no mention to say this is what he did in Chorazin, but we rely on the fact that it is mentioned that he performed miracles in there. But you also want to just take what is written in John chapter 20 and verse 13. And we are told, of course, in the scriptures, the Bible suggests to us elsewhere there were many works that Jesus did, but they are not recorded for us in the gospel accounts. And Chorazin falls under that category, where works were done, and they're probably not just mentioned for us to see. So, these are the exposed. The unrepentant cities here are the exposed. What do we mean when we say they are the exposed? We mean this. They were a privileged people because Jesus walked among them in person. And not just walking among them in person, Jesus performed miracles, mighty works in their city. These works revealed his identity. So they are a privileged people because they have seen things to show the real identity of this man who has come to their city and town. They are called the exposed because they are people who clearly perceived who Jesus was. Now the clear perception here, it is actually meaning that there was nothing to give them so much doubt about who this person was. They clearly saw and they clearly understood who the Lord Jesus Christ was. Remember, we are talking about the unrepentant, the exposed ones. We also see that these were people who clearly heard and saw. Clearly heard and saw. It was first-hand information. Not only do we see them seeing and hearing, we can go a little bit further and describe them as a people who clearly received the teaching. So the unrepentant cities we are talking about are people who were taught clearly about the way of salvation. And they were not just taught about the way of salvation. They were urged to give their lives to him. They were clearly instructed in that teaching that they needed to turn to the Lord. They were a people who were without excuse. Beloved friends, these unrepentant people we are talking about are no ignorant people, but they are people with the full knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ, a people with the full knowledge about what they ought to do in responding to the mighty works. Are you one this morning who has been exposed like Chorazin and Bethsaida? One who has seen the mighty works of God? One who has heard the gospel preached so many times? One who is fully aware of what he needs to do? One who knows that they need to give their life to God? Look at these people exposed. So many people today know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So many people today are able to see how he has saved many. So many people are able to see how lives have been changed of those who were once lived like sinners, and they were really sinners, and they can see all those things. The Spirit moves, convicts men of their sins. They are able to see the mighty works. They are able to see that Christ died on the cross. All these things they know. They're exposed like Chorazin and Bethsaida. There is also something to add to this when we talk about the unrepentant city. It is not just about them being exposed, but there is also Capernaum in verse 23 where we are told, "And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." There is a second category of the exposed, the unrepentant as it were. Now these are not just exposed, but we add another word, exposed and proud. Where do we get that? The Bible is clear. You, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven. And here it is symbolizing pride. It is symbolizing being lifted somewhere. And it is not just those around Capernaum that have lifted Capernaum up there, but it is also involving the citizens of Capernaum. In other words, they were proud of their city because of this. They considered this as Jesus' hometown. Of course, it was Jesus' hometown during his ministry, according to chapter 4 and verse 13. So pride had gotten the best of them. Why? Most of Jesus' miracles took place in Capernaum. They must have enjoyed the popularity they gained because of what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing in their city. Therefore, Capernaum was high above all these, exposed, but also considering themselves as blessed. They believed they were near the blessing of God. They believed they were a favored city. They believed that they were high above all these things because most of what the Lord did was in Capernaum. And so they took pride in this. And remember, we are talking about the unrepentant city. They are fully aware of all the mighty works, but they can still even identify themselves with the work of God. These people indeed believed they were spiritually blessed. These people were spiritually comfortable. Unrepentant, comfortable. brought their comfort. Pride. To belong to this particular city where religious wonders are being performed. Beloved friends, the unrepentant city. Some today are like Capernaum. Some today, of course, are exposed, but they delight and they take pride in the fact that they live in Zambia. Zambia, which is a Christian nation. They take pride in the fact that they belong to a Christian family. They take pride because they belong to a church. And some of them, they are not just affiliated to some church. Some of them are members of that church. And so what comes when they talk about eternity is the fact that their name is registered in some church somewhere. And this was Capernaum, and I pray that this morning it is not describing you. You who is exposed, you know that the Lord died for you, and you know that you need to genuinely give your life to the Lord, but you've decided, you've chosen not to, and you just take pride in being a Baptist. Baptist minister. Minister's son, you know, Baptist member's son or daughter, and you know, our family, our clan, you know, belongs to this particular church. Friends, this is the state of the cities. Exposed, proud, still remaining unrepentant. Quickly, secondly, if this is what we can see about these people, then we need to go a little bit further and ask the next question. Why are they really called unrepentant? Yes, we've seen who they are, the privileges that they have, and their state, but why are they called unrepentant? We see here that it's simply because they did not repent. Verse 20. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. That's an obvious answer. That's why they are called the unrepentant. It's because they did not repent. But we must further on say that they are called the unrepentant according to the narrative that we have before us because they rejected the message that the Lord was preaching. And though we can see that it was not a violent rejection where people now stand and they want to persecute you for what you're doing, there is a silent rejection that we see here. And this is what happens sometimes when men are confronted with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they need to give their lives to Him, that they do not violently reject what they are hearing, but they silently reject it. They are unrepentant simply because they rejected what the Lord was saying to them through the miracles, and they thought, well, we can still get on with life. We notice because these people continued in their way of life, it means they never repented. And for the Lord Jesus Christ to begin to tell them these things, it means that they are in that same state. They enjoyed the status quo before hearing the word of God, before seeing the mighty works, and after it was the same. Therefore, they didn't repent. But we must ask this question. What is repentance? Well, to repent in the New Testament, it always means to change your mind. And that is coming, obviously, from the Greek. It is not just talking about merely feeling sorry. It is about a true change. And repentance in Christianity means a sincere turn away in both the mind and heart from self to God, a sincere turn away. Beloved friends, another definition, what is repentance? In other words, what is this that they didn't do? When Jesus said repent, he was talking about a change of heart towards sin, the world, and God. He was talking about an inner change where you give your life to him. He was talking about this change in a person where they forsake sin and come to God. In other words, what these people did not do was to change the direction of their living. And so we call them unrepentant is simply because they are still in the direction of hell. But we can possibly put it this way. They are called the unrepentant for the following reasons, based on the description or the definition of repentance. Number one, they are called the unrepentant because they did not turn away from their sins. Repenting involves turning away from the old toward the new. And we are told in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, if any man will come after me, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, let him deny himself, turning from self, and take up his cross and follow me. That is following the Lord Jesus Christ. So they are called the unrepentant because they never turned away from their sin. Each and every person who has never turned away from their sin is unrepentant and should be called so. They are called the unrepentant simply because they did not recognize that they had fallen short. Even when the Lord is doing all those works, even when there is this preaching by John the Baptist, they do not see themselves as being sinful. In other words, they think that they are spiritually okay, which is very common of dying men. And dying men, I mean spiritually dying men. Those who laugh the loudest in this world, those who enjoy themselves, they are the happiest, yet they are heading to hell. Unrepentant. They did not recognize they had fallen short. That's why they are called the unrepentant. In other words, there was no sense of remorse. There was no feeling in their heart that they had done something wrong. To these people, such a verse like, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, doesn't make sense. Romans 3:23, very clear indeed about man being fallen. They believed they were good people. They believed it was still okay to live like that. They are called the unrepentant by the Lord because they did not have godly sorrow. A sorrow that leads to repentance. A sorrow that points us to God. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. And we see, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. And this is an important aspect when you talk about repentance, that there must be godly sorrow. Now, these people did not have godly sorrow. They went about marrying, laughing, joking, as it were. There was no godly sorrow. They are called the unrepentant because they did not humble themselves. Remember the story of the prodigal son. He was very arrogant, as it were. He is one who wanted freedom. He is one who went away and enjoyed himself to whatever sinful things that he was doing, whatever sinful pleasures earth can actually afford or give. These things he actually enjoyed. But this man, we are told that when life happened, as they say nowadays, when things happened, and when reality dawned, and when he had nothing to eat, and when he started eating with the pigs of all animals, maybe chickens better, but the pigs, and this is showing us the level to which he went in terms of suffering, and this man now rises up and says, look, I have a father, I need to go back to him. This is humbling oneself. Make me a servant. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Beloved friends, throughout the Bible, people were taught to repent. We also read from God's word, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is a process which leads to a relationship with God. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Beloved friends, it is important for you and me to consider these unconverted cities. They are called so because they never changed their way of living. They are called so because they never surrendered to the Lord. How can we relate this to our lives today? Perhaps we just ask ourselves questions. Are you an unrepentant person? Are you like these people who has not turned from self and sin to God? Are you one of these people who were privileged? The ones we are talking about, who received what no other people received at that particular time, apart from themselves, but still were blind to this privilege that was given to them? Are you one of these people who were preached to, and yet they just looked at the message which was right in their faces and decided to go away? Well, this morning I do challenge you. Are you an unrepentant person who has known what you are supposed to do, heard most of the sermons, knows how it is to become a Christian, still you haven't turned? But we must hurry on and ask the last question briefly. If these are the cities, and this is why they are called unrepentant, does it just end there? Is Jesus bothered about your unrepentance? Is God not really minding whatever happens or is happening? Well, according to this passage, the Lord cares. And this is why we see that there are consequences in the third place. Consequences. What are the consequences for their unrepentance? Well, listen to verse 21. Begins by woe to you. Again, woe to you, Bethsaida. We go and look at what he's saying here, and we see that the word being used is a serious word. Jesus, before this, dealt with him even through John the Baptist by the preaching of God's word, but even by the the performing of miracles, there was mercy. He dealt with them gently. He dealt with them in a clearly pastoral manner. Now he has changed that we see the consequences here and we see his language. Whoa. This is a strong word. It is an expression of deep sorrow and compassion. Jesus is saying, how terrible it will be for you, Chorazin. How terrible it will be for you, Bethsaida. Now, what we are noticing here is this, that there is also a comparison even as he talks about Bethsaida and Chorazin. In verse 21, as he talks about the wolves here, he said, for the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long ago. And this was going to be in sackcloth and ashes. Even with Capernaum here, we see in verse 23, and you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom. Now remember that when we talk about Tyre and Sidon, when we talk about even Sodom, we see that these represented wickedness. There was a lot of wickedness in these cities. And I'm sure if these cities were there today and people come with a passport, if it is just a region on its own, or I'm from Sodom, and they'll be associated with immorality, associated with what is wrong. And God indeed punished these cities for their sin. Now imagine, he's even saying, if these signs which he performed here had been performed during the time of Sodom, they were going to repent. And here it is showing us the seriousness of what is happening. And this is why he says, how terrible it will be for you, Chorazin. How terrible it will be for you, Bethsaida. The Living Translation puts it this way. What horrors await you? And when we talk about horror, we know that it is something frightening. It is something discomforting. It is something that is bad. The word war is usually, and it is a word in the Greek symbolizing pain. What pain awaits you? In other words, the consequence here is not just that their lives are in danger. And if they continue like this, we know the consequences of unrepentance is that sorrow awaits those who do not repent. In other words, there is this pain that awaits them. Of course, the Lord may decide to punish them here on earth for their sin, for the things that they do, but there is this eternal punishment. Remember, the consequence is not just that they'll live in danger. The consequence is that this sorrow awaits them. It is like giving you a picture of whatever hurt most. Probably those of us who fear death, fear losing a loved one, who probably know the pain of it. And then you know that that pain of losing my beloved one is waiting. You are dreading. You don't want your parents to die because it is painful, because it is whatever, hard thing that you can ever think of. And so here, pain awaits. They can try to turn away, but the inflicting of that pain, the going through of that pain still remains. It awaits those who do not repent. And this is what we see. Sin will not go unpunished. It awaits them, those who commit sin. We also see that the other consequence here, and which is coming out more clearly, is that they will receive a more severe punishment. Why do I say so? Because of the comparison that the Lord gives here. For Bethsaida and Chorazin, it will be harder for them. For Capernaum, it will be harder for them. Verse 24 tells us about the consequence, or rather consequences. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Remember the first question? What about those who hear the gospel and they don't repent? What about them? Rather than what about those who have not heard the gospel, but it is what about those who have heard the gospel? And in conclusion here, as we see what the Lord is saying in this particular section, it is very common and it is very clear to us. It is not something that we have not heard before. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom. Why? Because Sodom never saw these particular signs. Because Sodom never had these prophets and the signs that we are seeing. It's because Sodom never had the even John the Baptist here as a messenger going to preach to them. Beloved friends, Capernaum will receive greater punishment because they have no excuse to give before the Lord. And indeed, we must say this. The consequence of not repenting is that you remain condemned. John 3 verse 18. Those who are not saved remain condemned. But we must quickly close and say the following. The Lord would deliberately expose you to His word. The Lord would deliberately reveal Himself to you. And He does so because He loves you and He wants you to respond to Him. He wants you to leave your path of sin. He wants you to accept Him as your personal Savior. And this is why He reveals Himself to you. And this is why He revealed Himself even to Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. It was a privilege that was given to them, and He wanted them to see that this is the Messiah that has been promised and now is here. But beloved friends, we need to respond. When the Lord reveals Himself this way, we need to respond. And so, beloved friend, for the so many sermons that you have heard, for the comfort that you have taken in saying that I'm better off where I am, for your unrepentance and in the way of disobedience that you have continued, remember that there are consequences. Oh, that you may give your life to the Lord while you have this opportunity. Beloved friends, remember, you will be judged more than the person who was not exposed to as much as you have been exposed. You'll be judged more because you have heard more. You'll be judged more because the Lord has been pleading with you for a long time. You'll be judged more because so many opportunities have been given to you and you have just squandered them. Therefore, the sermons you've heard, therefore, the warnings you've heard, please, this morning respond. As the Lord, later on in this chapter, invites them, come to me, all you who labor. Come to me, those who have burdens. So it is this morning, you are being invited. Come, give your life to the Lord. Don't remain in your state of unrepentance. The unrepentant cities, they never turned. They never turned from their sin to God. And so they remained unrepentant. And because they remained unrepentant, they will face consequences not until they give their life to the Lord. How painful it will be for those who have heard even this sermon and never given their lives to Him. It is a sad thing to remain unrepentant, even for Christians. It is a sad thing. Judgment hangs on your head. Pride comes. It tells you you are okay. But the Lord wants you to repent. Come. Oh, the hymn writer says, out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come to thee. This should have been the song that Chorazin and Bethsaida should have sung immediately upon seeing the mighty works of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray together as we close our service. So many things do prevent men to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. These things, O God, we know you are able to break. This day we thank you that we can learn even from the negative lesson about the unrepentant cities. We thank you that we can see from your word that it does not please you to see people continuing on that wrong route, a route that leads to destruction. So, Lord, we thank you for the gentle reminder, but the strong words that we see even from your word. We, Lord, want to thank you for speaking to us. We pray for salvation upon the unconverted. But we also want to pray that those that are Christian will learn and see that it is not expected of an unconverted heart to continue living in rebellion. Sovereign Lord, we thank you for blessing us in all the aspects of our service today. And as we come to the end of it, oh, that your name may be glorified. Oh, that you may help us to keep this day, your day, holy. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.